Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome along to another Real World Road Test on the Radio Show Limit network of channels. I'm John Hindhoff, and we're starting inside the car whilst we're driving along at the moment, just for a little bit of a change. But we have had to travel a little further than usual to get behind the wheel of this particular vehicle because it's an Acura, a 2022 RDX.
Real World Road Test.
Let's start with a little bit of history about the brand. Honda, you all know, and in fact, Acura was the first premium brand introduced by one of the big Japanese manufacturers. It goes back to the mid-1980s. Those of you in the US will know it very well indeed. Perhaps in other parts of the world, not so much. And that's because it isn't a global brand. There were plans to introduce it even into the home market of Japan in the early 2000s, but they went by the wayside because of the recession. So it's still quite a niche brand in terms of its global coverage. That said, it started a trend among the big Japanese manufacturers to start sub-brands with their premium products. So we've come out to the United States to drive this car, and we're on a concrete highway at the moment, cruising at the speed limit of just on 70 miles an hour. The interior of this car we'll start with first, because it is absolutely 100% premium. There's clearly been a lot of thought gone into this 2022 car. One or two things that are new, including a bigger flat screen in the middle of the dashboard. It isn't a touch screen. All of the features on there are controlled by two touchpads in the middle of the center console. Come to those in a moment. They're behind the gear selector buttons. Yes, no stick for selecting the automatic gearbox, which is 10 speed on this one, by the way. Gets into 10th around about 60 miles an hour, but the shifts are imperceptible, to be honest. All right, this touchpad. It's not like your computer touchpad where you can roll your mouse around on it, or your cursor around on it, should I say. It is absolutely positioned. It's absolute positioning technology, if you will. So if you put your finger in the top right hand corner of the touchpad, then that will correspond to the top right hand corner of the screen. It's a great idea. It does take a little bit of getting used to, but when you do, it makes life very easy. And there's a nice wrist rest underneath that, or behind that, that's padded to help you steady your hand when you're making your selections. There's still quite an array of physical buttons, particularly for the air conditioning and heating, which I have to say I really like. This car, for the facelift, recent facelift, also got adjustable suspension. There is a snow mode, a comfort mode, a normal mode, and a sport mode. That is this rotary control in the dashboard. It's got a very high center console with charging pads, proximity charging pads for mobile phones underneath, sort of a flying buttress kind of arrangement there, with a good size compartment that you lean your elbow on and space for a couple of bottles of water as well. Lots of cubby holes around. Everything you come into contact with, whether it's the paddle shift, selectors on either side of the wheel, which are very nicely aluminium, I would say, but nice metal, the parts of the wheel where you put your hand, leather heated steering wheel on this one, by the way. Sort of a perforated leather around the high wear areas as well. This is an A-spec, which means it gets a little bit of a body kit and some different wheels, slightly bigger wheels, in a dark anthracite, metallic anthracite colour. They don't impact on the ride too badly at all, sitting in normal, or if it gets really bumpy on the concrete highways here in Wisconsin and Illinois, which is where we're driving this car, then drop it into comfort and it just takes, smooths out the worst of the roads. All the toys, configurable dashboard, but still with real dials for the rev counter and the speedometer. A very clever rear view mirror with lots of buttons on it that control how much it dims. Full moonroof that has the front part of it as a sliding panel, and an electrically powered blind to go right across it. The seats. Now, we've got to talk about these seats. These are standard in the A-spec. They have four different levels of lumbar control and 14 different ways of adjustment, including moving underneath your knees, gripping you around your torso, and the ability to just change where the heat or the cooling comes on the seat. Very impressive indeed. As is the ELS Studio 3D sound system with satellite radio here, of course. What I will say is getting to some of the more basic functions, even turning the radio on, can be a little bit fiddly when you first get in. The handbook, which is pretty thick, is very, very detailed and took a while to get through. However, the shortcut of talking to the car by pressing the speech button was by far the easiest way to start setting the car up. The driving position, almost infinitely adjustable with the amount of movement and adjustment on the seats. Steering wheel for me could go down a little bit lower, but that is, you know me, I like to sit very low down even in SUVs. This is a crossover, mid-size crossover. In the early versions of this car, we're now on to version 3, there was a platform share with the Honda Civic. That isn't the case now. The drivetrain is borrowed from the Honda Accord, so that means a four-cylinder VTEC turbocharged engine for 272 horsepower and 280 foot-pounds of torque. And it's more than adequate. Very, very smooth. I was worried with such a small engine that 10-speed would be constantly hunting to find the right gear, or that when we accelerated and drove it a bit more spiritedly, it would get quite noisy in here. Well, neither of those things have been actually the truth of the matter. Very smooth power delivery. It does get a little bit roughy, actually, when you get over around about 3,000 revs, which we haven't done very often, to be honest, because it's not the sort of car that you want to throw around. It's pretty wafty and normal, and the comfort settings, it does all stiffen up in the sport settings. In the back, there's plenty of room. There's a centre armrest that folds down with cup holders in, of course, and the rear seats are heated. As far as the luggage space within the car is concerned, very good indeed. Certainly good for the luggage requirements of the four adults that you would comfortably fit in this car. But what has really stood out for me is the refinement. Yes, it's got all the toys, it's got lane assist, it's got radar cruise control, various other brake assists, traffic light traffic management, etc. But it's just the sheer refinement. If I'm honest, I think some of the controls and the amount of button pressing and menus that you've got to go through could possibly be cut down a little bit. There's an awful lot to do. But again, I'll go back to the fact, if you hit the speak to the car button and tell it what you want to do. Probably 9 out of 10 times you get the thing done. I suppose in that respect, that's doing its job. The styling on the outside, I really like what Acura have done in naming of the colours. There's an Indianapolis colour, there's a Long Beach colour. That's available on the limited edition car, which is the real top of the range, which takes some of its inspiration from the NSX. This one is Apex Blue Metallic, which is a crystal blue and really stands out. I have a bit of a thing for blue cars and I really have liked this. And whatever is coating the paintwork in the windows has done very well in shedding and beading the water that we've had on a couple of quite heavy rain showers. The styling is quite a lot of straight lines. It is aggressive at the front end with a big grille. And this A-spec car has a little bit of a different treatment on the front end. Nice headlight treatment. And going down the sides, very big door mirrors that in some ways actually follow the shape of the grille itself. An electrically operated tailgate, which if you wave your foot underneath with the proximity key in your pocket, does open. And what I really like is you can set that to a variety of different heights to open. So if, like me, you're always worried about bumping your head, you can set it all the way up. If you live in an area that has a low ceiling parking garage, then you can set it further down. And that actually is very simple to do. You just put the tailgate to where you want and press and hold the tailgate release button. Could not be any simpler. As far as the performance of the car, 272 brake probably doesn't sound all that much in a car of this size. And weight, it's just around about, it's under 2,000 kilos, so what, 3,500 pounds, which actually for a car of this size is not bad at all. But I've been very impressed about how the weight is controlled by this new, on this facelift model, the new adjustable suspension. The chassis engineers have done their job, take a bow, ladies and gentlemen. And in terms of its performance, well, it's more than adequate. I have never felt that it's been sluggish if I've had to join on the highway and filter into traffic or come out of a side road and accelerate away. Now, the car is available in front and all-wheel drive. This is the latter, hence the snow setting. So summing it up then, a very good all-rounder. Comfortable, relatively economical from this 2-litre turbocharged four-cylinder engine. Over the 500 miles or so that I've had the car, couple of 150-mile runs in that on American freeways where the top speed limit has been 70 miles an hour. For the most part, I've been cruising about 60 to 65. Then some back and forth to and from racetracks, of course, and a little run to the supermarket a couple of times. So real world driving, absolutely, for this real world road test. Over 30 miles to the gallon, which is a little bit more than the official figures say. And that's on American gallons, so you could add a wee bit more for the UK, which you'd be, or Europe, you'd be tickling, I think, 40 miles to the gallon if you drove this rather sensibly. I'm rather disappointed that we can't easily get Acura in the UK, because here in the States you are acutely aware of the fact of how many SUVs and crossovers are on the roads and in the car parks around here. And most of them look fairly generic, but with a great head and tail light design and a little bit different design language, this Acura really stands out and makes its own statement. And I suppose back in 1986, when the powers that be at Honda were considering bringing in their premium brand, that was exactly what they were looking for. And if they're still looking on now, I think they'd be pretty proud of this particular car, because it serves those original concepts very well. And this started as a concept car. They weren't sure that they would build this car for Honda or for Acura. Well, the 2022 version of the RDX, making good use of the Honda Accord VTEC 2-litre motor and this Acura platform. Not available in all markets, so check around. But if it is where you live and you need the crossover or the all-wheel drive capability of this car, it's definitely worth a look. Right, I'm going to turn back on the satellite radio and finish the journey. The Acura RDX for 2022.
Another real-world road test. Check out more at RadioLeMans.com. This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.